5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
This is a melancholy welcome to another episode of Ruthless Aggression. I am Pierce. I'm joined by Rob and Chris as always. We're recording about 5 minutes, scheduled recording 5 minutes after WWE announced the passing of Scott Hall, Razor Ramon, dead at the age of 63. He suffered a fall last week at his home, broke his hip. He underwent surgery. There was some blood clots. He had multiple heart attacks on Saturday. He was placed on life support Sunday, taken off of life support earlier today. And Scott Hall passing away at the age of 63. I'll let you guys share how you feel and what Ray's meant to you guys, and then I'll chime in. It's definitely a devastating loss to a lot of people our age.
Yeah, it really is. You know, I wasn't really watching, you know, when he was kind of a big deal in the 90s, but you know, with the network and stuff, I've gone back and seen it. And you know, the SummerSlam match with Walter Payton has always been something I've enjoyed. You know, the stuff with Shawn, obviously, and you know, not even getting into the NWO stuff, which kind of changed wrestling still as we know it.
Yeah.
You know, just a hugely significant impact. You know, from everything I've seen, you know, posted online today, everyone has nothing but positive things to say about him. It's really a bummer. It's a sad thing, you know, just kind of out of nowhere. 63 is just awfully young. And it's just, it's a bummer.
It is a bummer. Rob, I know that you said, you know, you watched some stuff back. It's fine. And everybody who hasn't watched stuff back, I definitely fully recommend watching a lot of what Scott Hall did, not even just in WCW as Scott Hall, not even just in the WWF as Razor Ramon, but I'm sure that the network has plenty of AWA stuff that belongs to Scott Hall too. I believe that, you know, he got his start there.
Yeah, he did.
So, you know, I would recommend if anyone is bored, seek that out too. And I think that it's fair to say, I know I'm not trying to like pick on you or anything, Rob. You know, you didn't watch the stuff in WCW from 96 to 98.
No, or anything. For the most part, yeah.
You've only watched bits and pieces.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, you know, Bash at the Beach, yeah, obviously. Of course. Yeah.
If you lived through that, and if you, even as someone like me who was, you know, very young, but I know I was exposed to everything, and, you know, some memories are a little more distinct and more, you know, vivid than others, but if you live through it, especially with Scott Hall and WCW as part of the NWO, you truly don't understand, like, the coolness factor, and just how, you know, him going there, cutting that promo, everyone says it's a significant moment, but they're not underselling. It was a legitimately crazy moment. The entire crowd was just in stunned silence because they knew exactly who, you know, he was, as he was saying. I wonder why he was there, but, you know, all told, his impact is very far reaching. I said it before, because someone, I think it was Ryan Satin, who posted a survey promo from, I believe, I would have to guess it was from Starrcade 97. And I've seen a lot of great things in wrestling. I saw Bayley and Sasha in Brooklyn. I've seen, you know, Taker and Michaels at WrestleMania 25, Kofi Mania, a lot of the takeovers and whatnot, a lot of great shows, and great moments and great returns, like Cena at the Rumble and Edge at the Rumble too. I'm bummed out that I never was able to participate in a survey promo. Those were always fun. And if you go back and watch, it's the same promo every single week, word for word. But yeah, it got a reaction out of people every time. And, you know, it's easy to think that such an easy line could, you know, be delivered by anybody. But, like, he made it work. He made it part of it. It was literally just a staple of everything. It was part of the experience. I mean, like you had mentioned with the Intercontinental title, like, he was, you know, him and Shawn at WrestleMania 10, obviously one of the most famous matches ever.
Mm-hmm.
His impact is far-reaching, and it sucks that it ended this way, especially with his addiction issues that obviously plagued him for so long.
Yeah.
And he was able to get through all that, and then this was his unfortunate, I guess the word is unfortunately demise, but it's just, it's sad. It's very sad that this is how things played out after he was able to get himself, you know, above water.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it sucks, obviously. I can only imagine with someone like Kevin Nash and Sean Waltman are feeling right now, Nash especially. I know he had left a really, you know, heartbreaking post. I think it was early this morning.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope that Kevin Nash and Sean Waltman, all those who were close to Scott, have good support systems, because I can't imagine, you know, losing a friend like that, especially a friend for so long.
Yeah.
Like so, so long. And it's just, yeah, I mean, that's,
well, yeah,
really all I can deliver.
You know, the thing that Nash said, you know, they've spent more time together than, you know, anyone has with the other person,
yeah.
You know, like it's gotta be a bummer. Just really, really sad, man.
So I talk a lot about SummerSlam 95 and what that pay-per-view means to me. That was one of two tapes that I had growing up that I just replayed over and over and over. It's really my my introduction to wrestling. And those final two matches on the card, you have ladder match to Shawn and Razor, which is the ladder match that, you know, to me has a special place for obvious reasons. And then the Diesel Mabel, which we don't talk about because it's Diesel Mabel, but, you know, those were the three guys. Yeah, Brett, you know, Brett's there. Brett always had this kind of larger than life aura to him. But those were the three guys, the three main eventers at the time when I started watching wrestling, was Kevin Nash, Shawn Michaels, and Scott Hall, Razor Ramon. And, you know, following Razor through the end of his WWE run, you know, I knew that was Razor when he popped up in WCW, but he wasn't Razor. I was a little bit confused, and I was like, oh yeah, no, that's, this thing doesn't exist. But, you know, as great as he was in WWE, and listen, like, it takes a lot to, as a white man, use a gimmick that you saw an Italian man pull off in a movie as a Cuban man, fake Cuban man, and then to make it translate in pro wrestling. Granted, pro wrestling at the time is nothing but nationalities and race wars, okay? But to make that character stick and to really make it his own, to the point where, like, you know, the original intent, we don't even remember or care about. He was that good and that charismatic, just a fucking powerhouse in the ring. Sneaky built is a way that I like to describe Scott Hall, because, you know, if you just watch Scott Hall, you know, clothed up and doing the Scott Hall thing, you never think that he is as fucking massive of a man as he is, but he truly was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, going into the WCW run, just the incredible fucking mind that he had for the business, you know, being able to come up with Crow Sting and suggest it to him. He was that selfless. A lot of guys in pro wrestling, you know, a lot of guys in pro wrestling, even the folks that he worked with we talk about Hogan and Michaels, they're out for themselves a lot of times. And the focus is more on how can I get myself in the best possible position. Scott Hall was always looking out for other folks, you know, deciding that he was going to take this L for Chris Jericho to help out Chris Jericho when he was told to take the win or to get the win. Because he knew that it didn't matter if he got the win. He was going to be cheered and loved regardless because he's Scott Hall. He's that damn good. But that other people can benefit from his mind and how he worked in the business. You know, that's the real underrated part about Scott Hall. He never won a championship, AWA, WCW, WWE. Never won the big title, but you can argue he's one of the most impactful pro wrestlers, you know, period. And, you know, for a man that defied death for so long, it's still a shock that he's now finally gone. You know, it's going to be weird, man, being at WrestleMania. I know Kevin Nash has this thing. My prayers go out to Nash. Like you said, when you are together for as long as they were, you know, they were together in WCW, their original runs in WCW. They were Vinny Vegas and just regular Scott Hall.
Yeah.
On through the click and prayers go out to everyone, Sean, Hunter, X-Pac especially. His son Cody, I think Cody is still in Japan. I haven't kept up with him in a while. I know they had, you know, a lot of drama, and we're finally in the process of putting that behind them and hope that they got the closure that they needed. It's one that as wrestling fans, you all know is going to come. Like, trust me, Scott Hall probably should have died 20 years ago, but he kept defying the odds, and you know, the bad guy will live on forever, and just a complete great in this business.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I don't want to dwell on things or be, you know, a bummer here, but it does kind of suck. You know, the guys that grew up watching are getting older, and you know, professional wrestlers don't have the best lifespans, and this is unfortunately something I think we're gonna have to go through in the next couple of years, and it's gonna really be upsetting every time.
Yeah, it's gonna be very upsetting.
But you know, it's nice that we do have access to all these, you know, matches and memories and stuff, and you know, that's kind of a silver lining to all of it. It's just all easily accessible now.
Chris, if you could give one match of Scott Hall's Razor Ramon's that you find to be underrated, that you don't think that you know, a lot of people may be hip towards, what would you?
That's a great question.
Somebody just brought up when he was on the Jerry Springer show and he was giving like t-shirts to the kids. Fucking Razor.
You know, if I had to say, just in general, a match featuring Scott Hall that I don't think gets a lot of, you know, attention or what have you, there was a 6-man tag with the Outsiders and Six against Flair, Piper, and Kevin Green at Slammarine 97 that I think is a really fun match. I think we've talked about before that, you know, Kevin Green is one of the, you know, best athletes turned wrestlers. He probably could have been a wrestler if he really wanted it.
Yes.
Also, rest in peace to Kevin Green, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That too. I think that would be, if it would be, that would be worth seeking out.
I would throw in SummerSlam 1993. Now, listen, there's not a lot of reasons you want to go back and watch SummerSlam 1993. But it did open with a match between Razor and Ted DiBiase. And this was the finale of the turn a year after Razor debuted. It was impossible to stop him from getting cheered because he was that damn charismatic. And he was able to make the turn against Ted DiBiase. So yeah, that's definitely one I would throw out there. He had a championship match in WCW with Sting, Uncensored 1998. That was shortly before he entered rehab. So another match of Scott Hall's, if you want to go back and find it and watch it, man, he was fucking incredible. Yeah, so rest in peace, Scott Hall. Let's talk about WrestleMania, and then we'll get to AEW and Revolution. We have not talked about Revolution since we last talked, and a lot of things happened there. So we'll get to that. But first, WrestleMania, we are less than 3 weeks away. Jesus Christ, yeah. I still have some wardrobe to get for that week. The big story. And maybe if something happens tonight, we can you know, talk about it next week or when we next meet. But the big story is that Stone Cold Steve Austin is official to appear at WrestleMania. It's still vague as to what he and Kevin Owens will do. It's being advertised as a KO show on the Saturday of WrestleMania weekend. But he did drop about 2 minute promo package, where he said that he was in Texas. He was not in Texas. He was in Reno, Nevada. And Stone Cold did in 2 minutes what a lot of guys can't do, period, and that's sell the fuck out of something at WrestleMania. And he made a lot of calls. It's been 19 years since he had his last match, and you know, he's open, went to fix and open up a can of whoop ass. Listen, if this is a KO show that devolves into like a 15 second match, whatever, I don't care. I'm just happy that I get to see Austin at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's really the thing. Like, I think the build's been kind of weird because they kind of keep referencing this 19 year thing, which is when Austin had his last actual match. And, you know, he's been at WrestleMania plenty since then. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of weird that they keep bringing it up. But like, once they get there, I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I actually think, you know, Raw's in Rosemont next week. I think we're going to see him next week. And that's going to be cool. Because, you know, he obviously loves that building and he has historical ties to it. And, you know, they want to do something big for Rosemont, since they're not going to have Brock or Roman there. So I would imagine we will see him next week, maybe.
No, you'll probably see someone else who's probably going to show up at the end of the night.
Well, yeah, but, you know. But, yeah, I mean, I'm cool with Austin being there. I still like him. You know, it's I kind of figured, you know, when they announced he was in Texas, I thought he'd be the host.
Yeah.
You know, this is a little bit different than that, obviously. But, you know, whatever they do with it, it'll be fine. I think, again, it's just get in the ring, you know, make it happen. You know, it's kind of like The Rock and Eric Rowan a couple of years ago, where it was technically a match, but not much of one. You know, I guess the other side is like Austin had the perfect, you know, wrestler retirement, and he's the only wrestler that can really claim that anymore since Shawn Michaels had to ruin his. So, like, I'm a little against one more match in that regard, but also the retirement wasn't like a planned thing. It just kind of worked out in the way it did, so it'll be fine whatever they do. I mean, I'm looking forward to it though, because I like Austin and I like Kevin Owens, and you know.
So you bring up the 19 years thing, and you know, you point out that, you know, he has been at Manias, but like the context here is that he said he brought something out of him that he hasn't felt in 19 years.
Yeah.
So it's different from saying that, you know, he hasn't been in a WrestleMania in 19 years. It's he himself was like that Owens' promo brought something inside him that he hasn't felt in 19 years. It's making him want to, you know, fight him or be on the KO show or whatever they decide to do. This probably isn't going to be a bell-to-bell match. It'll probably just be a brawl. Austin will get his ass kicked or whatever for a little bit. He'll come back and, you know, stomp Mudhole, play the hits. Maybe don't do a Luthes press if he can't handle it or whatever the hell. Hit the stunner. They'll do a beer thing, and then he'll stun him again, and then boom. That's probably what's going to happen. And I'm for it because, I mean, it's Stone Cold Steve Austin. I don't think that they're going to bring him back in Rosemont. I think that they know that, you know, they'll get a big pop anyway. But if they keep him off TV until then, which I imagine he, being old school like he is, wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah.
So I think that this will be safe for me. Did they say which night this was happening on?
I think Saturday.
Okay, that makes sense.
I believe.
Yeah. You can't bait people with Austin, I suppose.
Yeah.
Hit that in the first night. Okay. So yeah, I mean, they'll do that. It'll definitely work. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out. I mean, it's Steve Austin.
Yeah. No, it's fair.
Also happening at WrestleMania, we got an official Austin Theory and Pat McAfee will go at it. So yay.
It'll be fine. Like I've enjoyed watching Pat's matches before.
That's,
you know,
that's gonna be my piss break. That's
still, yeah,
it'll probably last like two. I think if it goes anywhere past like 5 minutes, I'd be stuck.
I really would be stunned. They'd be wasting time.
Yeah, they'd be wasting a lot of time by having that go any longer than like five.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused what the end game is with this whole theory thing. Like, I know a couple months ago, someone's like, oh, it's just all in his head that he's talking to Vince. And I would actually really like that, but I don't think they're going to do it.
Well, he just, he's at commentary right now during this match between Finn and Damian Priest. So,
yeah, so maybe he gets involved. Absolutely no crew. U.S. title stuff or
yeah,
after. Yeah, I mean that's possible.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know what the whole Vince inclusion is going to really do for him at this point.
Well, because they probably wanted to be WWE champion.
No, that's fair. I mean,
at some point, you know, chosen one.
At some point, I don't know when at some point is, but it'll probably happen.
There's a list of guys on Raw right now that I'd probably give that to before him, but
I mean, but he's also probably not going to get it for another 6-7 years. So
that's true too. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. Speaking of the United States Championship, that changed hands last week. Finn Balor is your new United States Champion, which thank God, because that was not a run by Damian Priest. Not that WWE has ever really like done much with their mid-card champions over the last year.
Yeah.
You know, you can really give Nakamura shit by his title run because, you know, yeah. Yeah, speaking of Nakamura, the dude he lost the title to, Sami Zayn, has also lost the Intercontinental Championship.
Yes.
Ricochet is the new Intercontinental Champion. So both Ricochet and Finn Balor are mid-card champions.
Yeah, which I mean,
they should be, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got no problem with Finn in particular. You know, I think it's nice that they have something for him to do here.
Yeah, exactly. Better than him not doing anything and losing Austin Theory.
I kind of thought that, you know, Finn and Priest was going to be the Mania match, and then they just ran it on Raw, which it still can be the Mania match, I suppose. Just have Finn be the demon.
Did they just do a rematch between Priest and Finn Balor, and it was non-title?
Yeah.
Why?
It looks like I don't know. I mean, I guess to have Priest win and then. Maybe it was a champions contenders match or whatever. I have it on mute, so I don't know for sure. But maybe just to set up the
stupid,
yeah,
set up the demon.
I agree. I mean, it's
you can do this better ways you could do that than having a match literally the week after he lost the title and it's non-title. And then here's Austin Theory coming in.
Yeah, well, I think Finn faced Theory.
I don't know what the fuck we're doing.
They don't believe in a mid card for their men or their women.
Yeah, so
whatever.
It's literally just open challenge gimmicks and occasional title changes.
That's kind of a problem in wrestling.
All across wrestling. I mean, in particular, watching WWE TV, even with, I think the North American Championship at least has some stuff to it, but like it's still very like paint by numbers.
Yeah.
So yeah, like that's really all it is. So it's unfortunate, but they don't have a mid card anymore because they don't believe it. Yeah. If they didn't, they wouldn't have spent the last like 2+ years absolutely killing it off. Which, you know, no disrespect to Bobby Lashley, but he did not need to be United States Champion for as long as he was. Because they basically zapped the belt. They could have probably spent their time a little bit better on Raw than having him face Cruz, Slapjack, and fucking whomever else before the Riddle and
Jesus start. It's a fine line because, you know, I did inarguably a whole lot for Lashley.
Okay, but the title needs to mean something.
Yeah.
Not the person.
Well, you know, you have plenty of guys.
Person was not making the title either.
You know, Balor can feud. There's plenty of guys Balor can feud with on Raw to make that title kind of count again.
Are they going to do that at this point? No, because they don't have a mid card anymore because they got rid of everybody, and then they spent again the last 2 years basically making it worthless.
No, I agree, but you put, you know, Styles can be in a U.S. title feud.
Right, but the feud would consist of a match. Probably an open challenge. Then again, their championship contender matches, whatever they brand these things are, and then a pay-per-view match, and then doing this whole thing over and over again.
Yeah,
that's all they do.
That's fair. That wouldn't be great. That's
basically what they
There's no kind of creativity when it comes to how the title scenes are booked.
And I think it sucks because Cena's Open Challenge in 2015 actually, you know, did something worthwhile, and they were able to have great matches, and he was unique. But then they just kept doing it over and over and over and over again, and that's all they ever do, and they rely on it at this point. And, you know, I don't think AEW is much better by having, you know, the TNT champion end up, you know, last, what, like, 3 or 4 months, they just faced the new kid off the block. I know they did it with Fish, and they did that with Lethal, too. So, I mean, that doesn't really do anything for me either. At least from that perspective, I guess, the TV title, and it needs to be defended on TV, but, like, still, feud over it.
Yeah.
Make things personal. My God.
Yeah.
At least do a contenders match.
Yeah.
Do something. Make the title worth seeking out, not just, you can just step to the front of the line whenever you want. Like, that's, there's nothing for me.
Yeah. They've also announced for Saturday that the Usos will defend the SmackDown Tag Team Championship against Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. I'm not mad at it because, you know, Shinsuke has to get on the card somehow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, they don't have a ton of tag teams in general, let alone ones that haven't faced the Usos for the titles. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, and it's not like New Day is going to be tagging.
It's not like MSK is doing anything.
Well, NXT. Yeah, they can. They should be up. But reason. And I mean, I thought it was going to be New Day and Usos again, but they had something else planned for New Day, which is probably now not.
That's done now. Yeah,
Biggie broke his six man.
Biggie broke his neck last week, which before we all just give our love to Biggie, wonderful, wonderful man. If anybody needs NXT 2.0, it's Ridge Holland.
Yeah, you know what the thing is? Like, he was doing well there, and then he got hurt, and they just wanted to bring him up, I guess. But, like, you know, I
make sure that people are a little more refined.
I get, like, people get hurt. You want to get them up so, you know, you can that, maximize what they can bring to you before they get hurt again. But, like, you probably should have made sure that, you know.
The dude knows how to do a back belly suplex.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's wrestling. I don't, you know, hold it against people when they injure other people for the most part. Like, there was obviously nothing malicious about that. It just, that's not the guy to be doing that move on. And
terrible
someone probably should have stepped in at some point.
Like,
you know,
you can excuse mistakes. Terrible fucking technique, you can't, because that's coachable. That's some shit that you can coach out of somebody like a Ridge Holland. That shit that wasn't coached out of Ridge Holland before he moved up. And now it's cost you one of your biggest superstars in the company. With a broken neck, he's probably out for the rest of the year. Sucks. Fucking sucks.
Yeah, I know they said he didn't need surgery. So that's good. There's no compression of the vertebrae. I'm hoping it's more like an Austin sort of recovery than, you know, Edge the first time. So,
but Austin's recovery means 2 years down the line, he's gonna be missing time. So, yeah, I'd rather him do what he got to do now.
Yeah. I would rather him not have broken his neck, but unfortunately, he can't rewind time.
No,
and unfortunately, he just caught the sour end of it.
But I will say, you know, the support kind of across all wrestling, you know, on Twitter and stuff was really cool to see.
I mean, nice when that comes together. I mean, yeah, it's been said enough times.
You know, the majority of these people are all friends with each other and really like each other, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why all this stuff is kind of dumb. But
very. But
yeah, you know, shout out to Big E. Yes.
Big shout out to Big E. Big shout out to Big E. Anything else? Oh yeah, finally, last thing in WWE, another title changed hands. The NXT championship. Now, I called this literally while his music was playing before he headed out to the ring, but Dolph Ziggler got the win in a triple threat match, pinned Tommaso Ciampa. He is your new NXT champion, and this will likely set up a match with Bron Breakker at the Stand and Deliver show happening the morning or the afternoon of WrestleMania day one. Good for Dolph. Yeah. For Dolph, that he's in a meaningful feud during WrestleMania weekend and that he has another crown to add to his repertoire.
Yeah, I don't really mind Dolph winning this title. You know, I would have probably just kept it on Braun and just kind of done the match at Stand and Deliver, just the two of them. But, you know, do it this way, get the chase going again. It's not as bad of a decision, I don't think, as when
neither was a bad decision
when Ciampa beat Braun the first time.
Neither was a bad decision. Same reason that this was a bad decision.
No, that's fair. But yeah, I've actually really liked Ziggler's little NXT run, and I'm okay with it continuing a couple more weeks. I think he's a very good heel there. They seem to enjoy the way it works there, and yeah, I don't mind it. I'm looking forward to the Magic Stand Deliver. I would put it on the WrestleMania main card. I don't think they're gonna, but that is what I would do.
They're probably not going to put on the main card because they have a show that they need to do that.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm okay with the decision, though. I mean, as long as either Braun wins it back or just gets called up after Mania, it's fast tracking.
Also, no disrespect, but this is to a larger point. They can't put an NXT championship match at WrestleMania because nobody watches NXT like that.
Well, that's fair.
So they will put that at TakeOver. It's no real disrespect. It's just there's enough evidence that suggests that most people do not really know what's in front of them when it comes to NXT, unless they're really, you know, knee deep into that.
Mm-hmm.
As far as Dolph winning, I honestly think he earned it. And I say that as somebody who's gotten pretty bored by him.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's found something again. I think he's found something. And I think what helps is like, yeah, you know, he was kind of doing the same thing and the same shtick. It didn't really help again when he was mostly spinning around in the mid-card. We just talked at length about what the mid-card has basically been reduced to. And, you know, they did the Kofi feud, and that was fine. Nothing that set the world on fire or whatever. And then they did whatever with him and Drew the following year. And that was whatever. Because, again, I think he was just in everyone's face for too long. And now it seems like he's doing something different. He's taking a different approach. And I think it's really working for him. And I think in the end, it's going to work for Braun because he's going to win the title back from somebody like Dolph Ziggler, who, you know, we can have our opinions of him or not. I mean, he's won basically every title made available to him.
Yeah.
Except for the big WWE title. And the Universal, I guess, because we're not counting Big Gold anymore, but it's still something that he did.
Mm-hmm.
So he's won Money in the Bank. He's done pretty much everything except what? Win King of the Ring, the WWE title, and win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
If you take the time to think about it, and main event WrestleMania, I guess. So it's high honors. I mean, it is what it is. Like he's very established. He's a name that people know.
Yeah. And if they still did King of the Ring every year, I guarantee you he would have won it at one point.
Without a doubt. Without question, he would have probably, I would have bet he probably would have won it in like 2014 or 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And even somewhere along the lines, like 16 or 17, maybe it's an outside shot. But yeah, I mean, I think Dolph really, he's really doing something well. I really enjoyed it. And I think that, you know, with things right now for me for wrestling, I need to connect to something. I'm latched on. I'm genuinely interested in this. I was so caught off guard by this. I didn't think that he was going. I thought he was only in there because Braun was going to pin Ciampa to end things with them, and then Dolph would attack Braun after. I did not think Dolph was going to win, but I thought that's good. That's good, and it can validate Braun by having him beat someone like Dolph. It works out. Braun's not going to be in 2.0 for much longer anyway. He's probably out of there by August. They're already having him on Raw. They've had him on Raw house shows and whatnot. He's not going to be there much longer. Everyone knows that, I think, too. So him losing or whatever, these decisions, in the end, he'll be all right.
Yeah. That's fair. I agree with that.
What was your favorite parts of Revolution?
So I thought it was
not the women's matches.
Yeah, the women's matches were mostly bad. I thought it was, I was excited that Regal showed up. That's kind of out of nowhere. And you know, he's a really good fit for Mox and Danielson, I think. You know, Swerve showing up was cool. It wasn't really a secret, but yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do there. You know, I didn't like Cole and Paige all that much. I actually thought that Eddie Kingston and Chris Jericho had a very good match. I think, you know, Wardlow winning the ladder match and kind of becoming the guy, even though not really, because he's probably going to lose the actual TNT title match, was, you know, whatever. CM Punk MJF was very good. I think a couple minutes too long, but very good. And Sting did a balcony dive through a table. So
why? I don't know.
Because Sting rules.
Okay.
All right.
Does that need to happen? Does the other ridiculous spot that I keep seeing that fucking Guevara did or whatever off the set, does that need to happen?
No, but it looks cool.
It looks cool. But like how many spots have we seen that look cool over the past couple of years? It doesn't move me anymore.
No.
It just happens with such regularity.
No, I mean, the Guevara one that they did, they genuinely should have just not done. Yeah, it almost went very ridiculous. Poorly.
Yeah.
But his his cutter between the ladders in the match with Cody, admittedly, okay, I do not care for him, was excellent. One of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Yeah,
that's fair. And that was a couple weeks ago. But yeah, you know, it was fine. I didn't really like the show as much as some of their previous pay-per-views, but I think it was okay, and I hope that Double or Nothing... I don't know if they're going to, it feels like one of the next two pay-per-views, Punk is going to win the title, and that's going to be cool. You know, nothing against Hangman, who I think
I can imagine it happens in Chicago.
Yeah, Punk either winning or being able to defend in Chicago, I don't think it's something they're going to be able to pass up, because I think they're going to the United Center instead of the Sears Center as well. So
I don't even think it's going to be Hangman. I think it makes more sense if it's MJF.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Revolution was pretty good. You know, wrestling... from, you know, December, like through the Royal Rumble, I didn't really like WWE or AEW all that much. Now they're both kind of back on the up and up. It's nice.
Give it a few weeks for me.
I was thinking about that too. Like,
give it a few weeks for me.
You know, getting Asuka and Bayley and Alexa back is going to just do so much for these divisions.
Alexa is apparently not, you know, injured or anything. She just
I didn't really want to
pull the fucking 2021 Bailey with her.
I didn't really want to get into it, but
well, you know what? I deal with it, so I'm sorry that you have.
But yeah, I mean, it's gonna be such a boost to the women's divisions, which are, you know, kind of struggling at the moment because no one has a non-title women's match at WrestleMania. Well,
that's a product of them not caring, not trusting yet.
It's fair, but still. I mean,
I feel you, but that's a product.
I'm glad they're doing the tag match, but like it feels like Sasha, Naomi, Rhea, and Liv could all be doing something.
Well, also, the way they're doing the tag match is dumb because they could have just had them say they're going to defend it in a so and so match instead of having a situation where you had Rhea and Liv join the match because they pinned Carmella and Zelina, and then had a match where Sasha beat Shotzi and then Naomi said that they were challenging, that they were attacking, and then they were immediately thrown the match. And then they were going to do Sasha Zelina, where I would presume that Sasha would have beaten Zelina, so Zelina would have lost twice in 1 week. So they switched it to Sasha and Naomi against Natty and Shayna, and everyone thought to themselves, well, I guess Natty and Shayna are going to win to get in the match. They had Natty lose in like 3 minutes or whatever to Sasha, and then afterwards they're like, oh, you know, we still think that we should be in the match.
Hmm.
I'm not asking you to reinvent the wheel here, guys. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus. I wasn't, my expectations were low, but for fuck's sake.
Hmm. Yeah.
All righty. I don't think there's anything else to talk about from that day. Oh, I mean, you know, there's one thing, but we don't know if he's debuting or not yet. So if he does debut tonight, we'll talk about it next time we talk.
Mm-hmm.
Till then, we got a couple weeks of wrestling to get caught up on.
We do. We have, what do we got? 5 shows. We got 2 weeks TV and Saturday night's main event. First one in 15 years. So we'll get into that here, starting with we should talk about the Oscars real quick, just because it was the night before Raw.
It was the night before.
We had a couple cool things here that I wanted to mention, such as, you know, Crash won Best Picture. I remember that being a big thing.
I was going to say, like, what do you mean cool?
Yeah, I mean, Crash is not a very good movie, but, you know. Philip Seymour Hoffman won, I believe, his only Oscar for Capote. George Clooney got Best Supporting Actor. Crash also got Best Original Screenplay. Everyone thought Brokeback Mountain would come in here and clean up, and they only won, I think they got 3, but yeah. And Best Original Song was It's Hard Out Here for a Pimp by 3-6 Mafia, who we will see not too long from now. They show up on SmackDown, yeah. I believe, in the summer.
Yeah.
Do Mark Henry's theme live.
Yes.
Let me say this as you know, as a longtime listener of 3-6 Mafia, it was really amazing to watch 3-6 Mafia somehow go mainstream because of that song, because of that movie Hustle and Flow, and they were able to, because 3-6 Mafia is a different brand of rap. Like, it's not like we're talking about, you know, oh, Jay-Z shifting over into popular music. It's not like that. Like, 3-6 Mafia is some fucked up shit, you know. 3-6 Mafia is some out there shit, and it's a specific kind of sound. For that to start to transcend, and you know, the movie playing a big role in it, but now, like, you know, they're getting ready to do the theme song for Mark Henry. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. That's absolutely insane. So yeah, that was a cool moment for sure. Watching 3-6 win best song. They weren't the first hip hop artists to do it. I believe Eminem was for Lose Yourself, but mm-hmm. that would be the first black group to do it. It was pretty huge, pretty fucking huge. God, yeah, Crash was terrible. I remember like enjoying Crash the first time I watched it, but like not really having a deeper understanding of life. And then I got it and I was like, oh no, this is pretty fucking bad. It's also just not as good as several of the other movies. Good Lord, Carmella was hot. It's also not as good as a lot of the other movies that came out in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was better than Capote. I don't think it was better than Brokeback Mountain. I'm blanking on some other.
The other two nominees were Good Night and Good Luck and Munich.
Yeah, not better than either of those two. Good Night and Good Luck is a really, really underrated fucking movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Monster was that same year too. I don't even think it was better than Monster. Charlize was, if she didn't win it, she got nominated. So yeah, that was, yeah, Crash fucking sucked.
But yeah, we can get into the top five, the music here this week. We have a new number one. First of five, It's Still Beat Without You. Down to four is Grills. Up to three is Temperature. Down to two is Check on It by Beyonce. And up to number one is You're Beautiful by James Blunt, which, not a good song, but you know. And then the top five movies, number five is Aquamarine. Number four is Ultraviolet. Down to three is Eight Below. Down to two is Madea's Family Reunion. And at number one is 16 Blocks, which I remember, but I've never seen. And yeah, we can get into it.
Yeah. Quick sports point I want to make, actually two. On March 5th, 2006, Kirby Puckett suffered a stroke in his Scottsdale, Arizona home. He passed away the next day on March 6th at 45 years old. In addition to that, we have at this point in time through March 6th, we have 9 confirmed teams in the NCAA tournament because we have some conference tournaments going on. Penn was the first team to clinch a berth after winning the Ivy League. What would follow would be Belmont, Winthrop, Murray State, Davidson. This was a year before Steph Curry's freshman year for the record. Mm. So this is still pre-Steph Curry Davidson. Southern Illinois, UNC Wilmington, Iona, and finally, after winning the West Coast Conference Championship game, 68-67 over Loyola Marymount, Gonzaga.
Oh, there you go. Well, there we go.
Yes.
All right. Get into Raw from Birmingham, Alabama, which is where SmackDown was the other day.
Yes. Yes, I believe the same building.
Probably. Vince and Shane are in the ring to open the evening. They've been security. Vince says last night was the Oscars. Many think it's a celebration of Hollywood elite, but Vince says that it's 3 hours of ass kissing, but their ass kissing pales in comparison to Shawn Michaels kissing Vince's ass last week. Vince starts doing an acceptance speech where he thanks Spirit Squad and Shane and Chris Masters and Marty Jannetty. Masters and Carlito will get to face Kane and Big Show at WrestleMania for their contributions last week, and Marty will not be getting a contract, which he will, and then he won't, and then he will again, and be a whole thing. Vince will be facing Shawn at WrestleMania. He's not a normal 60-year-old. He's on the cover of Muscle and Fitness, which felt like it happened every year for a while.
Yeah, I think it did.
And Sean's music hits, and security goes on the ramp, but he comes through the crowd and attacks Vince from behind and gets some shots in before security realizes what's going on, and they get him out of there. And Vince says that Sean might be facing Shane at Saturday night's main event, but he's also going to face him tonight. Mm. How about that?
Yeah. So we get Ric Flair versus Shelton Benjamin for the IC title. Shelton went on the attack right away. He accidentally poked the ref in the eye, and then Flair got Shelton in the figure four and tapped. But so everyone thinks that the bell that rung was for Flair, but in actuality, it was for Shelton being disqualified.
Yeah.
And then Flair grabbed the oxygen tank and hit Shelton.
Yes.
Moving on WWE Unlimited, Teddy Long announced the Money in the Bank ladder match would be an intra-promotional match. So three SmackDown superstars will be joining the party with qualifying matches starting on Friday.
Yes. We get Triple H against Kane in WrestleMania Rewind match because
the graphics were fantastic.
Yeah, Cena and Triple H are facing people that they faced at WrestleMania before. It's a really cool concept. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
Rematch from WrestleMania 15. Kane's in control for a while, and then Chris Masters comes down and gets on the apron, distracts him. Triple H distracts the ref, and Masters and Carlito throw Kane into the ring post and then bring him back in the ring, and Triple H hits pedigree. Stephanie goes into Sean's locker room, so she needs to talk to him. She's pregnant. She starts rambling about how she wants to do the right thing because she knows her dad and her brother won't. Then she says her stomach hurts and sends Sean to get her some water. And while he's gone, she drugs his water bottle and he drinks it. And it's not good. And Candace showed off her Playboy cover and attacked Tori. So they're going to feud.
Yep, they are. Then we get our Shawn Michaels versus Shane McMahon match. Shawn got in the ring and is immediately hindered by being drugged. He's left unconscious. Shane beats him. Vince ordered a match between himself and Shawn, and he also beat him. The Spirit Squad came out to celebrate.
Yes, and that led into Kenny against Eugene, and it just was not very good.
Did Lita versus Maria. This went about as you would expect it to, just to say it wasn't really much of a match. Lita won. Edge went to spear Maria. However, Mick Foley came out for the save, but was then beat up and hit with a one-man concerto.
Mm-hmm. Sharon Martel's going into the Hall of Fame. So that's fun.
Very.
Sharon Martel's great. I'm happy that she was around to get inducted, and that was really cool. Because, you know, she passed away the next year, so.
I wonder if there was ever a pitch to have her come in with Sean for the match.
Yeah, I don't know, because, you know, they did it, obviously, for the Angle stuff, yeah, exactly. So maybe. Trish tells Mickey that they need to talk. She says enough is enough, and she can't keep doing this. Mickey's too much, and they need to go their separate ways. Seems like maybe this time it'll actually work out, and Trish will be free of Mickey.
Maybe.
Then it's time for John Cena against The Big Show, WrestleMania 20 rematch. Triple H comes out with the sledgehammer to spectate, and Cena wins with the FU like he did at WrestleMania 20. So Triple H and John Cena are both looking good going forward.
Indeed. So keeping it here going because there's too much to name between breaks when it comes to college basketball.
Yeah.
Had a couple new ones to the party here. Oral Roberts, who beat Chicago State in the Mid-Continent Conference Championship game. I forgot that was a thing.
The what?
The Mid-Continent Conference, which turned into the Summit League. So
I didn't know it was called Mid-Continent at the time.
I did not either. That's very interesting. I never knew that.
Yeah, I don't just remember that.
The Horizon League saw Butler lose, I'm sorry, to Milwaukee. Milwaukee won 87-71. And winning the Sun Belt was South Alabama. Winning the Northeast Conference was Monmouth. Big Sky was won by Montana on Wednesday. On Thursday, there were no new additions because, of course, most of the big conferences started their tournaments on Thursday or during the week.
Mm-hmm.
However, on Friday, we did have one name join the party. That was Bucknell.
Oh, there we go.
I don't remember if we hear from them again in 06 or was that 05?
No, they beat Kansas in 2005 because Bradley beats Kansas in 2006.
That's right. Yes, I know it was Brad. I know it was Bradley and Bucknell in back years. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't remember which order they went in.
Yes.
So, yeah, Bucknell is in the field as of Friday. So let's move to Friday and SmackDown.
Yes.
SmackDown from Mobile, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So they're staying in Alabama. Starting off the show were Mark Henry and Daivari. Daivari was very irritated about Taker Angle being called a classic because how could it be a classic without Mark Henry in it? Henry deserves everything that everyone else is getting. He hurt Batista so bad that he had to give up his title. Then Undertaker took Henry's title shot away from him. But last week, Taker and Angle both remember who Mark Henry is because he took out both of them. Mark called Kurt Angle out. Kurt came out and he's ready to go right now. They fought. Randy came out at the end. Ray came out to even the odds. We got ourselves a tag team match. We have Kurt Angle and Rey Mysterio teaming up.
Tag team match, Randy. Player.
Yeah. Let me move on to Finlay against Bob Lashley in the first Money in the Bank qualifying match, but they don't even make it to the ring because they start fighting in the ramp, and then they end up in the parking lot, and Lashley tries to flip a car onto him, but Finlay gets out of the way, so they'll have to continue their stuff next week. We get a vignette, reality check time. The Miz is coming. It's good to know he's been doing the same thing for 16 years.
Hey, he's made it work, hasn't he?
Yeah. He sure has. JBL's here. He's blessed by the emotional outpouring of love and support from the fans since Benoit broke his hand. Stone Cold did an interview with WWE.com about the best wrestlers in Texas history and didn't mention JBL, so JBL challenges him to a beer drinking contest at Saturday night's main event.
Wow. So, you know, it's that easy. You know, now they want to come back and have actual matches. You can just challenge them to a beer drinking contest. See, I mean, still be a smart way to sell Broken Skull American Lager.
Yeah, they're finally releasing it nationally this week. I might
thank go the try and fucking find it. Lord. It was wild because even in Nevada, I couldn't find it in Nevada.
Yeah, because I don't want to try the IPA. That's not really for me, but the American Lager is probably okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to see where I can find the American Lager. Of course, Philly's fucking weird, but you know.
Gregory Helms goes into Teddy Long's office, broke his nose at a house show, and Teddy says, you know, he doesn't have to defend his title tonight. Instead, he'll face Chris Benoit. Which, you know, William Regal's in action against Paul Burchill. Regal says that a man's about to come out and make a fool of himself on the microphone. And it actually is a pretty good match. Paul Burchill gets the win with the C4, which still just a very great move.
Yes.
I wish more people would have tried to do it.
But then that wouldn't have made it special. But
it's true.
There's different cutter variations, so the cutter can work in that regard because you have DDP and Orton both made that iconic, but
yeah,
I mean, in reality, I mean, this, what is a C4 but you know, a Spanish fly?
No, that's true.
People do it all the time now, so hey,
yeah,
Burchill was ahead of his time, innovative offense,
it's true.
So, anywho, Booker T and Charmel came out, they're mad at Teddy Long and the Boogeyman. Booker and Charmel start reading letters from people about the Boogeyman. Teddy Long appears on the screen and tells then that they will have a match at Saturday night's main event. Booker and Boogeyman, that is.
Yeah.
Also, I should amend, that is WWE Hall of Famers Booker T and Charmel.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
That was an interesting revelation earlier today. Charmel's going to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, good, like,
for her. She earns her keep in 2006. You will see.
She, yeah. No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying she knows. She's obviously, she's fantastic this year and this whole run with King Booker. It's just, it's like she's in the cocoa tier.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in terms of women,
I'm just saying, you know, like, yeah, she in the cocoa tier.
Like,
she,
I guess
it's congratulations, I'm glad she in it. Like, we need more sisters in it, so you know.
Yeah,
like, that's one thing.
I guess Victoria should still be in, but
that's what I thought was gonna get in.
People who aren't
very
in
stunned
already. Yeah,
I'm very stunned at the continued disrespect of Victoria.
Well, because they keep limiting it to just one per class. So
well, that's true.
If they stop doing that,
and like you have no reason to continue
exactly,
doing it,
it's
archaic now.
It's way too rigid for me.
Yeah,
you don't need to induct one woman every year.
The formula every year is very solid. You're going to get at least one of the following: one bona fide legend that can sell out and be the number one main event. You're going to get one female superstar. You're going to get one tag team.
Yes.
You're going to get one manager or authority figure.
Yep.
You are going to get at least one dead person.
Yes.
That's the formula of every single
and a celebrity sometimes.
Yeah. And a celebrity. To go to the celebrity ring. That would be the formula of every single WWE Hall of Fame. If it didn't have that kind of feel, then yeah, it would make a lot of fucking sense. You could still have Victoria in because Charmella would fall under the manager aspect.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, boom, fine. Give Victoria her due for being one of the best female wrestlers of that company in that time. I'm not doing that to necessarily shade Charmella, but it's like, there's a lot of people that you could be adding to the fucking Hall of Fame. A lot of women you'd be adding to the fucking Hall of Fame that aren't in yet. That's how I feel. Melina.
Yeah.
Melina just fucking came back. All these girls that you had come back. Maybe some of them, not all of them.
Yeah, I mean, all I can say is that
Kelly for the Hall of Fame.
All I can say with response to that is just that, you know, for the women's sake, hopefully that they're just that she's not the only woman who's inducted. Which I imagine we will find out within the next couple of weeks anyway. So anyhow, Crystal beat Jillian in a match.
Mm-hmm.
Moved on after that to Gregory Helms versus Chris Benoit. After getting beat up a bit, Helms decides to leave. However, the Cruiserweights came out and threw him back into the ring. Got the crossface on him and tapped. This is just more comeuppance for Helms being kind of a dickhead.
Yeah.
So kind of is what it is. He'll lose these matches, but he will always win his, he will always come prepared. Ring his A game for his title defenses.
Yes.
Moving forward, there's a vignette for Animal.
Yeah.
Who says all of his tag team partners have, you know, been selfish or whatever, or they've sucked.
Go away.
And he's going to face Matt Hardy next week, unfortunately, which will also turn into a Money in the Bank qualifying match.
It will.
Why is
Animal, which is very funny.
Money in the Bank qualifying match.
Then it's time for our main event. Randy Orton and Mark Henry against Kurt Angle and Rey Mysterio. Mark Henry takes out the ref and Daivari gets the table and they put Rey on it. He's going to splash him through it, but Kurt saves him and Kurt gets splashed through the table. Then after all of this, finally, Undertaker comes out, says he'll have a casket match at WrestleMania. So, I mean, could have came out earlier and saved everyone, but, you know, busy. And that was SmackDown.
It was SmackDown, yes. Moving forward here, we had a couple of other teams clinching, you know, bids all over the place as Selection Sunday approaches. Albany won the America East Tournament. Memphis won the Conference USA Tournament by beating 24th ranked UAB. Memphis at the time was ranked 5th in the country. This is a quality Memphis team.
Yep.
Xavier won the A-10 Tournament by beating St. Joe's 62-61 in a nail-biter. The Pac-10 title was won by UCLA, won 71-52 over Cal. Kent State won the MAC. Winning the Big East Championship was Syracuse, who beat 15th ranked Pitt 65-61.
The Jerry Mack tournament, baby.
I was gonna say, was it that one or was it the one previously?
No, it was this one.
Yeah, you're right. It was. Yeah, because I know that because I've just unlocked a memory because I remember what the theme song for that tournament was by ESPN. Fucking Fort Myer, remember the name?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, also remember before the conference tournament, they Sports Illustrated had rated him the most overrated player in the Big East.
Yes.
In that fuel Jerry McNamara.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, he got off. The listen, if I could have two guards in Big East tournament history on my like all Big East tournament team, be Kemba Walker and Jerry McNamara.
Yeah.
For respectively what they did in 2006 and 2011. I have never seen in that tournament, I have never seen guards take over that tournament as much as those two.
Mm-hmm.
It's just brilliant play from the both of them.
Absolutely.
By the way, Gillespie had a really good championship game. I was very impressed with what he saw from him.
Yeah.
Yes. Also, not Gus Johnson's best moment on commentary.
I was not walking. Oh yeah. When he started to like.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a leader.
Steph Curry's ruining the game of basketball. Like, oh.
I didn't hear that, but I did hear him like go into like, oh, he's a leader. I was like, all right, we're
he went low because he kept like kept remarking that like Creighton was taking bad shots or whatever because they weren't, neither team was really hitting anything. And he's just like, Steph Curry is ruining the game of basketball. Everyone thinks that they can be Steph Curry, but they can't be this, that. Blah, blah. What is this, the analytics? It's like, dude, come on, man. Well, call the game in front.
Well, Gus Johnson is bad now, so.
I'm just saying.
Hey,
that's the thing.
Gus Johnson might be your number three guy on Sundays.
Yeah,
because Disney was a little tired of watching everyone else take from them.
You know? Yeah. But yeah, we can get into the next week here.
Yes. Also, we'll just say Southern Nevada, San Diego State, Pacific. Then on Sunday, Duke, Florida, Northwestern State, Kansas, and Iowa won their respective conference tournaments.
There you go.
So there you go. Apart from that, let me see if there is anything worth noting here. Jimmy Johnson won under the green white checkers to win the UAW Daimler Chrysler 400 in Vegas.
There you go.
Apart from that, though, not much. So let's move forward.
Yes, for a second week here, we can start with the music again. Down to number five is Check On It. Back up to four is Be Without You. Down to three is You're Beautiful, so it was at number one for a week. Temperature is up to two. And number one, jumping up from number nine, is So Sick by Neo. So
yeah, Neo. And Neo's always a great songwriter. He's written some of the best R&B songs. And pop songs, too. But then he just came out with this, and I don't know. Neo just kind of exploded, and obviously everybody respected his pen. So, but he had some heat in the mid to late 2000s.
Yeah.
Really good heat.
And then the movies, down to number five is Eight Below, down to number four is 16 Blocks. Debuting at number three is The Hills Have Eyes. Debuting at number two is The Shaggy Dog. And debuting at number one is Failure to Launch.
I don't think I ever saw Failure to Launch. Kay Hudson and Matthew McConaughey.
Right? Yeah, I don't think I saw it either.
The Shaggy Dog, I definitely didn't see because I'm not wasting my time on
2006.
The
Disney.
Tom, the Tool Man, fucking turning into a dog. The Hills Have Eyes. I would never watch The Hills Have Eyes again. That's one of the most. There's scenes in The Hills Have Eyes that are just petrifying. Not in a good way, petrifying, like really fucked up, petrifying.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So, Raw, March 13th, 2006, from Beaumont, Texas.
Man, let's all run Raws in Beaumont, Texas. That's insane.
Crazy.
Never again.
Vince and Shane are here with the doctor and some security guards. Vince wants Sean drug tested after last week because he's very concerned about him. Shane commends Vince for that. He wants to face Sean this week, and he wants to know if Sean is clean or not. So Sean comes out the ring and takes the test and pisses in a cup and then tells Shane that it's better to be pissed off than pissed on and throws piss on Vince and Shane. So that was fun. I mean, you know, the build to Vince and Sean has not been very good. But,
no, it was fun.
You know, yeah. During the break, Vince says that Sean will take on the whole Spirit Squad in a tornado steel cage match.
Okay.
Then we get Trish against Victoria for the women's title. Trish wins with help from Tori, who got revenge on Victoria and Candace for attacking her last week. We get a video that's supposed to be Mick Foley's career highlights, but you realize right away that it's it's Edge kind of, you know, pulling a fast one on us and showing all the times that Foley has fallen short and stuff.
The Washington Journal, the LA Sun, and the New York Bugle.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And then that leads us into Edge against Goldust.
Yes.
And yes. We have Cowboy Troy on commentary because he has a show coming out on USA Network. Mm-hmm. Goldust gets the upper hand for a while, but Lita distracts him on the apron and Edge hits the spear for the win. And then Edge plays a video of his highlights after the match.
Yes. Afterwards, Trish was looking for Tori. She found her knocked out in the locker room with a calling card, Candace's Playboy magazine on top of her. So it looks like she was attacked.
Mm-hmm.
And Vern Gagne is going to the Hall of Fame. So that's cool.
It's weird, right?
I guess. Is it?
I mean, I guess Bischoff's in, but it would be like putting Ted Turner in almost, which they could. I mean, who cares? You want to do it, but like, it's weird. I guess
you, Vince. You think putting Vern Gagne in is weird?
Yeah, well, it's not weird. I get it, but it would be like putting Ted Turner in.
putting in the guy who you put out of business.
Yeah.
I mean, still, like, the AWA was the Midwest territory for very long time. Like, my dad, who, you know, you could say fringe wrestling fan, but when he talks wrestling, most of the references are AWA references. You know, you talk about Vern Gagne, you talk about Baron Von Radsky and the Claw. You know, so Vern definitely earned his way. It's one of those things where, like, yeah, you know, you're honoring a dude who you took out. But at the same time, like, and again, it's weird because it's the WWE Hall of Fame. It's not the Wrestling Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. It's not like we call, you know, it's not like it's the NFL Hall of Fame. It's the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. Or the National Basketball Hall of Fame. So, like, it's weird when it's just WWE, but WWE's made a point that, like, they're not just going to celebrate what they're doing. They're going to celebrate, you know, wrestling from all over. They've inducted Antonio Inoki. And Inoki's biggest contributions to WWE and WCW were one-off matches where he get to fight Ric Flair or Hulk Hogan or something. That's his biggest contribution to them. But we all know the greater contribution. So that's how I kind of look at Vern. You know, Vern, listen, if you ever want to learn something about Vern Gagne, go look up Vern Gagne.
Unfortunately, the end of his life gets a little problematic.
Let's just say this. RIP to Razor Ramon, but Scott Hall and Vern Gagne got the same amount of bodies. That's as much as I could tell you.
Yep. Triple H and John Cena are doing a contract signing, which I thought they did already, but they have not done it yet.
Yeah, I was about to say, didn't they do that last, like, 2 weeks ago?
Things don't go well, and Vince comes up and announces Cena and Big Show and Kane against Triple H and Masters and Carlito in the main event. Shawn Michaels faces Spirit Squad in a steel cage, and, you know, he fights back a little bit, but ultimately is overcome, and then Shane comes out and tells him to raise the cage and does the Van Terminator on Shawn.
Yeah.
So, you know, good stuff there.
Pops me.
Yeah.
Like it always does.
Trish tells Todd Grisham that Tori's concussed and won't be her partner at Saturday night's main event. Mickey says that she can be Trish's partner, and then after that match, they can go their separate ways.
Seems suddenly suspect that Tori was left lying.
Yeah, you know.
Conveniently with somebody leaving a trail to think it's someone else.
Yep.
Interesting.
Vince tells Shane that Jim Ross is going to call Saturday night's main event. Shane says that if JR doesn't call the match right, he will leave him a bloody mess like he did with Sean.
Yep. Move forward. RVD versus Shelton Benjamin for the IC title. Ric Flair is on commentary. Shelton said his mom isn't there tonight because she's having heart surgery. Shelton says that it's all of Ric Flair's fault. I personally think that we should be blaming Ric Flair for things. So Shelton was ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Ric Flair was very distracting on commentary here, by the way. Yeah. And Shelton got the win with help from the ropes.
Yeah, that's fine. You know, don't mind it. Move on to Kane, Big Show, and Cena against Triple H, Masters, and Carlito. Triple H really doesn't want to face Cena, so every time he's in, Triple H tags out, and they all kind of start hitting each other with chairs. It ends up with Triple H and Cena in the ring by themselves, and before anything can happen, Randy Orton comes in and hits Cena with the RKO because they are on opposite sides at Saturday night's main event.
Yes, they are.
So it's a good payoff.
Yeah. You get some more Orton-Cena interaction here.
Yes.
A very rare thing. They, of course, had met the Eddie Guerrero tribute Raw.
Yeah, I really wanted them to have a feud and do some more stuff, and then I think by the time they finally did, I wasn't watching anymore.
Sucks, so because I personally enjoyed the hell out of it. So at least through the first like month was fun because they'd never touched gloves before, so they did a good job of protecting people.
And
matches. Anyways, yeah, so that was pretty much Raw.
Yeah, go to SmackDown.
Yes, let's go to SmackDown. Lastly, before that, just have some more college basketball stuff, obviously. Let's see. In the play-in game, Monmouth beat Hampton. The Hawks will play Villanova in Philadelphia on Friday. So this was the Northeast Conference's first tournament win ever.
It's pretty cool.
Not surprising, but still pretty cool. And then, you know, some notable things that happened on that first Thursday of the tournament. Looking for any upsets. Tennessee nearly was upset by Winthrop. However, the two-seeded Vols won 63-61 over the Eagles, so they avoided a much worse fate there by losing to a 15 seed. Let's see. Boston College survived a double overtime effort by Pacific, but they won 88-76 in the end. Milwaukee beat six-seeded Oklahoma as an 11, 82-74. I think this year Milwaukee makes the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
I want to say that they make the Sweet 16 in 2006. So that's cool. In other news, Texas A&M and AC Law defeated Syracuse 66-58. So that was a big upset that happened. You're 5-12. And then
AC Law the same.
Yes.
The same AC Law. I thought he was good enough to play on the Bulls of Derrick Rose. Yeah. That AC Law.
Yes. Northwestern State beat Iowa 64-63 in Auburn Hills. 14 knocked off a three. So that was cool. Let's see. Moving forward here, we had, of course, Bradley beating Kansas 76-73.
Mm-hmm.
George Mason beat Michigan State.
And they Tom did.
Izzo,
yes.
11th seeded George Mason, who I think we'll be talking a little bit more about as
this
progresses. They started their journey off by beating Tom Izzo and the Spartans 75-65. But they will be playing North Carolina, who beat Murray State 69-65 in the second round out in Dayton.
Hmm?
And then, yeah, that was pretty much the notables there. So let's move to SmackDown from Bossier City, Louisiana.
Yes. So we get Finley and Lashley in a Money in the Bank qualifying lumberjack match this time. Get some good back and forth action. Finley gets a win with the help from the Shillelagh. So he's in Money in the Bank now, which, you know, that's fine. If Lashley's not going to win, you probably don't need to put him in there. Eminem laughs at Paul Burchill for a little bit and then pulls his sword out. And then that stops. They kind of go about their business. And then Paul Burchill is in action, teaming with Crystal against William Regal and Jillian Hall. And Burchill and Crystal pick up the win. So, you know, Paul Burchill is really building some momentum here.
He is.
Booker T gets a win over a local guy named Jeremy Young. Booker and Charmel tried to hide from Boogeyman under the ring after the match.
Let's not look past the camp.
Also, yeah, Charmel's in a full
beekeeper's outfit.
A full beekeeper's outfit, yes.
With a crown on it, and then with a ring on her latex glove.
Yeah.
Just incredible amounts of camp.
Yeah, it's so good
stuff.
That
was great.
So yeah,
all the credit in the world. They hammed the hell out of this. They hammed it up big time. So all the credit in the world should go to Booker and Charmel for all this stuff. Same with Boogeyman, obviously, but they did their job. They did their job and they did it well. By the way, I was away for a moment. However, I think that it is fair to say that I've been really enjoying Finley and Lashley stuff.
Yeah.
Where they're just beating the hell out of each other.
Yeah, it's good.
Sometimes that's all you need to do. You need to have two big hosses just beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finley's not really a hoss, but he's a
brawler. He's a brawler. You get a brawler and a bruiser. Look at you. You've been playing your GM mode. By the way, I'm very disappointed by GM mode. I caved. I paid the $70. And I listen, it's not good enough for me to justify the $400. So the $70 I paid, and yeah, GM mode leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah, it's not bad. I think next year it's going to be a lot better, probably.
It needs to be a lot more expansive.
Yeah, the limited match types is the weirdest thing. Like, you can only do like 5 different matches, and like, that doesn't seem like it was that hard to really put in. Mm-hmm. Like,
once you figure out like the formula, like how to work everything, like how the contracts are working, then it's a little bit easier. The limiting to a year is a little bit hard, but
Yeah, because for the first like 10 weeks or whatever, you can't really do much because you have to run these small buildings and right. like, you know, but
go through the Drew Gulak tutorial.
Yeah. I mean, I hope next year they improve it. I'm glad they brought it back, you know, but yeah.
Please don't put Logan Paul in as a DLC. This next game. Is. No, the next game. Oh, the I know he one, is yeah. for this game. And like, that's the, oh God, but save yeah. us. Y'all, Bad Bunny is coming, right?
No, it's Logan Paul and MGK. They could not
fuck off.
Yeah, I know.
Pay the money, get Bad Bunny.
Yeah, you might as well. Michael Cole interviews Orton and Angle, Mysterio on the Titantron. They all kind of argue with each other. They also are going to have problems coexisting on Saturday, just like Triple H and John Cena will.
By the way, just a quick aside here to current, because this just hit me while I'm watching Raw on mute. It totally just hit me. They're totally going to probably have Edge use his super old theme and come out through the crowd and at WrestleMania, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. That makes
sense. He's done the Brood stuff. He's got the blue backdrop. They're not doing the Rob Zombie stuff. That doesn't work. He'll probably take it back in time.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
Yeah, they got him. Cool. They got him with this blue hue.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
I get what they're trying to do because it was the common theme of his first like Titantron or whatever. But like, it does look a little weird on TV.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so we got Road Warrior Animal against Matt Hardy in Monday Night qualifying match. Animal hit Matt with brass knuckles and got the win, but the ref saw it after and disqualified him, so Matt won, so he's in the Money in the Bank match. Chris Benoit beat Orlando Jordan, was not about to watch that match again.
You know, what does Roto Warrior Animal need, like, a visual pin for in 2006?
Well.
That seems really stupid.
Why is he still here?
Yeah, seriously, why is he still here?
It's weak, man.
It's weird. I just don't get it. Strange.
Triple H just tweeted out, "I'm gutted, lost a brother. I love you, Scott. I'll see you down the road. # buddy system." So yeah. I think that's the first of X-Pac said something, but he never didn't say anything. Plus, who cares? Yeah, so that's the first of significant click members to speak out about
Scott. Yeah.
Sorry.
After the match, JBL hit Chris Benoit with a beer cooler. He's ready for his beer drinking contest. Mark Henry says he's not afraid of The Undertaker and he'll call him out at Saturday night's main event. And then it's time for the main event. Eminem and Mark Henry against Angle, Mysterio, and Orton. Kurt has the ribs all taped up from being put through the table last week, and Randy doesn't really want to tag into the match. So a lot of this is just Ray being in peril. Eventually Ray overcomes everything and hits 619, but Randy tags himself in and throws Ray over the top rope and gets the win. So Randy's being a real dick.
He is.
Which, you know.
Fair. True to life.
Yeah. And then it's time for Saturday night's main event.
Yes. Quick hitter here for Saturday. I'll save the Sunday games for another time. Actually, let me say that for next one. Let's go into Saturday night's main event from the Cobo Arena,
yeah,
in Detroit, Michigan.
Which, not really an arena that they ran too often. Not really an arena that either company ran too often. For as much as WCW would run Detroit, I think they were always at Joe Louis as well. Which is interesting. Yeah, or Auburn Hills.
Yeah, yeah. I've never heard of Cobo Arena until this show. So they maybe ran it like once or twice more, but it was never an arena that they would run significantly.
Yeah.
I want to say they maybe hosted the Pistons in like the 80s, the early 80s, but
mm-hmm.
Nah, it's not a good venue.
So we start off Saturday night's main event with the rapid fire promos featuring everyone in action tonight. Gotta love that.
Yes.
We get Triple H and John Cena against Orton, Angle, and Mysterio just right off the bat. Triple H wants Cena to work together and kind of cheap shot Ray, but Cena wouldn't do it. Cena hit Orton with the FU, and then Triple H comes in and pedigrees Cena and goes to leave, but puts Orton on top of Cena first, and then Ray Mysterio breaks up the pin because they don't want to win like that. And Triple H pedigrees Ray, and Kurt throws Triple H out of the ring, and then Randy hits Kurt with the RKO. And then by the time everything is settled, it's Cena and Orton in the ring, and Cena reverses an RKO attempt into a backslide, and they get the win. Good
fun
opener
stuff.
Yeah,
fun stuff.
Booker T is hurt. Can't face Boogeyman tonight. He is faking it, and Teddy Long fell for it, despite Booker doing the same thing recently.
Yeah.
Edge is out here for the cutting edge, and his guest is Mick Foley. Put a bunch of weapons in the ring to make Mick feel comfortable, but Mick's not the hardcore legend anymore. He's a cuddly teddy bear. Foley comes out, and Edge immediately sets the table on fire. And they get in the ring and put it out. And then Mick dumps out a bunch of thumbtacks, and he ends up getting thrown onto them. And it looks like Mick's going to be in some bad shape, but then he chases Edge down and does a one-man concerto on the stage. So
Edge needed his ass kicked a little bit after the last couple of months.
Yeah.
So it's good to see Foley give him the beating that he deserved.
Mm-hmm. Booker and Sharmell are celebrating in the locker room as they got one over on Teddy Long, but then the lights go out and Boogeyman crawls down from the ceiling. So, you know, JBL runs down the city of Detroit and their sports teams, which not going to age well because it's 2006 and the Tigers are good this year.
Yes, they are.
So, and their automakers, which, you know, that one. Prior to Stone Cold coming out for the beer drinking contest, they kind of do their thing, and then it just ends with Stone Cold throwing a bunch of beer on JBL and hitting a stunner. It's fine.
Yep.
You know.
Then we get Mickey and Trish against Candace and Victoria. Mickey and Trish win, and then we finally get the turn. Mickey snaps on Trish, asks her if she loves her now, and then, you know, she's going to eventually face her at WrestleMania. So they finally, you know, got to where they needed to be after about 3 months, and this has been one of the more fun angles that they'll ever run.
Yeah, one of the better women's builds.
Yes,
especially up to this time, but even to now, like
there's so much detail, and so many layers.
Mm-hmm.
So you could tell from early on, because she's only been in the company since like October, I think it was when she joined.
Yeah.
You could tell how much that she was getting
from
a character work standpoint and everything else and all that other stuff, little things and such. Like the thing, I don't know whose idea it was to do, you know, the misleading calling card angle there, but I thought that was brilliant.
Yeah.
Because like you wouldn't expect it. And then all of a sudden you realize like, oh shit, she is the one who did it, not Candace and Victoria. Though I think, if I were to say anything, I would have done some sort of misdirection there, where I would have had them say that it wasn't them, and then all of a sudden Mickey snaps.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
It's fair. And Mark Henry comes out, says he's not afraid of The Undertaker. He's going to win the casket match at WrestleMania. Undertaker comes out, and they brawl, and it ends with Daivari being tombstone and then put into the casket, so... And then it's time for the main event. Shawn Michaels against Shane McMahon in a street fight. Shane puts Shawn onto two tables and sets up a ladder in the ring and looks like he's going to jump through it, but Shawn gets up before he can and superplexes Shane off the ladder through the tables on the outside. Shawn has the match won with sweet chin music, but Vince pulls the ref out. And then Shane puts Shawn in a sharpshooter and Vince calls for the bell, kind of like the Montreal Screwjob.
Yes.
And that is Saturday night's main event.
Hey, we got an update. You know, Chris, you were trying to say that they might have Edge come out with his old theme. They're not having Edge come out with his old theme.
Oh, boy.
They're having Edge come out with a new theme.
It appears to be a different Alter Bridge song. Yeah, I haven't heard it yet.
Well, that's good. At least it's licensed music.
Yeah.
It's very...
It's not going to be good, but at least
it's very licensed. Heavy metal. Which fits Edge in this new change. It's gonna take me a minute to get over no more Metalingus. But hey, you know, that is the latest development that we could tell you as we're watching Raw, even though you probably already know. But if you didn't watch Raw, yeah, Edge has a new theme song and new entrance. You guys are watching it, so you can see there's no pyro, something interesting.
Yeah, again, like, I guess I need to actually see it to see how it looks, but...
Hey, even for, like, the 10, 15 seconds when I had the sound up, like, it looked cool.
It's just weird, because I'm sure they're like, oh, you know, that's his babyface theme, when it really wasn't, you know, dating back to when he got it the first time, but...
It became it.
No, obviously, yeah, the comeback at the Royal Rumble
I understand what you're saying.
I think what people are more thinking about now, but, like, you know, when he started it, it was a heel theme.
Anyway, right, but then it became...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's fair. I mean, yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine.
I mean, it's also like, you know, Ed, he has to refresh himself. I get it. Yeah. I get it. Finally, before we get up out of here, I can also tell you that Seth Rollins is going to be taking on Kevin Owens for the right to face Stone Cold Steve Austin, or not the right to do the thing with Austin at Mania. I can only imagine that Kevin Owens will win this match, and I can only imagine that if this is the main event, setting up something very big, very big, maybe a very big return.
Yes.
Who's King of the Ring?
Let's see here. No one won a title, so it's tough to do it that way.
Mickey James.
Yeah, probably Mickey.
Deceiving literally everybody.
Yeah, I like Mickey as well. Mickey's on a really good run right now, and it's only going to keep getting bigger. All righty. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll be back very, very soon as we trek towards WrestleMania, both in the present and in the past. You can follow me at Cameron Santo, Rob's at Rob131, Chris is at Chris and Novak, at BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook.com/BarbersChairDigital. Thank you so much. We appreciate you for joining us. As always, take care, be happy, be healthy, and we'll see you guys on the next show.